Now, this morning, I want to take us on an Ancestry.com or Who Do You Think You Are journey through Jesus' life today. Now, in the Old Testament days, children were given names that were prophetic in nature, as their parents wanted them to always be aware of what they could become. And as a majority of people couldn't read or write, they had to memorize the list of names of their ancestors. Now, this all had to do with laws of inheritance to ensure that the land was kept in the same general territories as had been apportioned to the 12 tribes that came out of Egypt in the Exodus. Now, this week in our daily readings in Matthew chapter 1, we're given a listing of names of Jesus' ancestors through the line of Joseph, his earthly father figure from Abraham forward. In Luke chapter 3 is the listing of his ancestors through Mary's line, from Jesus backward, from his generation all the way back to Adam. Now, all of his life, Jesus had heard these names. He understood their prophetic nature and accepted them as not only part of his heritage, but as part of his future and as part of his ministry. As Jesus heard and rehearsed this lineage, he could hear the prophecies, hear the intent of God's heart for his purpose on earth. It reminded him of why he was here and what he was supposed to do. In Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, we get a glimpse of his heavenly perspective of this lineage. And it says this: "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus as our example, who is the author and finisher of our faith." Now, this great cloud of witnesses are the generations that went before. Now, I'm going to do, this is kind of like a teaching today instead of a real preaching message. And what I'm going to do is say the name of the ancestor, give the definition of it, and then an explanation of how it applies to Jesus with a scripture reference. So if you want to get a pen and paper, you can do that, and you can follow along too. Now, we're going to start with Abraham. Now, you all know that the name Abraham means a father of a multitude. And this shows that Jesus was to be the firstborn among many. In Romans chapter 8, it says, "Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be called the firstborn among many brethren." The second name in line is Isaac, and that means laughter. And it shows that Jesus was to bring joy to his people. In John 15, Jesus says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full." Next is Jacob, and that name means to take up by the heel, to trip up, or to supplant. And it shows that Jesus was to supplant all other gods and trip up the devil. In John 10:10, one of our favorite verses, Jesus says, "The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I am come that they might have life and they may have it more abundantly." So he's supplanting the devil. He's tearing him up and throwing him away. The next name in line is Judah, and that means celebrated. And it's also from a root word meaning to throw or to worship with hands extended. Jesus was thrown into the world to show how to worship God in spirit and truth. And it also foretells his crucifixion with his hands extended. In Matthew 20, Jesus says, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life as a ransom for many." That's foretelling his crucifixion. The next in line is Pharos, meaning a break, a breach, or a breaking forth. And it shows that Jesus was to break forth from the old covenant and to break out into the new covenant. In Matthew 26, Jesus says, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." The next in his ancestors' line is Esrom. It means to surround or to fence in like the walls of a village. And it shows that Jesus is our hedge of protection from external wickedness and from God's own wrath for us and for himself as well. In John 17, Jesus says, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." He is our hedge of protection. He is our protector. The next name in his line is Aram, meaning to bring up, to exalt, to lift up, or to promise, and to promote. And it shows that Jesus will bring us into the higher kingdom, out of the clay, out of our flesh, out of the dark, into the light. In Ephesians 2, it says, even when we were dead in sins, he's quickened us together with Christ, and by grace are you saved. And he's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The next name is Aminadab, meaning to exchange or to requite. And it shows that Jesus came to exchange our sin for his innocence. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, for God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The next name is Nason, and I like this one. His name means to whisper a magic spell, a divine enchanter, or to diligently observe. This shows that by the Holy Spirit, to observe our condition, to pay attention, and to pray to the Father with groanings that we may never understand. And in Romans 8, it explains it. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we don't know what we should pray for as we ought to, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings that can't be uttered. And I like the way that that name is interpreted, to whisper a magic spell. It's something that we don't understand with our mind. And when we're praying in the Spirit, when we're praying in tongues, we are whispering something that is absolutely the best kind of magical that there is, because it's tapping into the heart of God, into the Spirit of God, into the Spirit of Jesus himself. The next name in line is Salomon, meaning a covering, a mantle, clothing that takes on the shape of the object beneath. And it shows that Jesus is to be our covering, his countenance taking on our shape. In Isaiah 61, it says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and a bride adorns herself with jewels. He is our covering. Next in line is Boaz. Now, the root definition of this word is uncertain, but it is the name of one of the pillars holding up the roof of the temple. Now, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit now, right? Okay. And what's the roof of the temple? Our minds, the way that we think. And it shows that Jesus will keep our minds and our hearts and our thinking. In Philippians chapter 4, it says, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. That's our promise. The next in line is Obed, and that name means serving, to be in bondage, to execute, to be a husbandman, or to bring to pass. And that shows that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, and as Bill Johnson calls it, the prisoner of the promise. And that promise was to Abraham that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through his children. And Jesus was a prisoner to that promise, a willing prisoner. In Hebrews 12, it says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, for who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is fulfilling the promise. The next is Jesse, and that means to stand out, to exist, or to be. And it shows that Jesus exists to stand out from all others in our salvation. He is outstanding. In Acts 4, it says, neither is there salvation in any other name, nor is there any other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the only name, Jesus. And of course, then the next name is David. And that means beloved. And Jesus was beloved of the Father and beloved of his followers. in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and in 1 Peter, it says, and lo, a voice from heaven came down saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So it shows that Jesus was beloved of the Father. And of course, we love him as well. Then after David comes Solomon. And that name comes from the root word shalom, meaning to be safe in mind, body, to make full amends, and to be at peace. And Jesus keeps us safe from the demands of the law, keeps us in perfect peace, and it also shows that he came to deal with sin. In Philippians 4, again, it says, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So there's a repeat, a confirmation. The next name is Rehoboam. A people has enlarged, and it's the concept of enlarging the kingdom of God. In Luke chapter 1, he says, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. The next is Abia, meaning a father who sees. And it shows that Jesus sees and understands our frailties, our hurts and heartbreaks, and our joy. And in Hebrews chapter 2, it says, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto this, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself suffered being tempted, he is then able to succor them who are tempted. This next name is Asa. Now, there's no definition given for that name, for that word. And it shows me that it helps for us to understand that God keeps some things to himself. He doesn't share all of his knowledge with us. Not now. Some things are still left to be a mystery. And Jesus himself in Matthew 24 says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. God keeps some secrets. We may know them all one day, but not now. The next name is Jehoshaphat, and that means Jehovah judges. And this shows that Jesus was taking that judgment on himself. In John 13, verse 48, it says, he that rejects me and receives not my words has one that does judge him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in that last day. He knows that the judgment is coming, but he's taking the judgment for us. Now this next name is Joram, and it means Jehovah raised. Now this is the first one in his line that talks about the resurrection. In Matthew 16, Jesus says, from that time forth began Jesus to show to his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the leaders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again at the third day. See, Jesus knew, but he knew that this prophetic name was meaning resurrection. Jehovah would raise him. God would raise him. Even though he was dead, God would raise him. And then Onesimus is the next name, and that name means the strength of Yahweh. It showed that Jesus understood that God would give him strength to do what he has to do. And in Luke 22, this is in the Garden of Gethsemane, it says, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. So this is all in a prophetic name. The next name in line is Joaham, meaning Jehovah is perfect. When related to his own name, Jesus realizes that his act of salvation is perfect. In Hebrews chapter 2, it says, for it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. The next name is Achaz, meaning possessor. And Jesus is the owner of those that God gives him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, "Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, the world or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's." So Jesus knew that he possessed all things. The next name in line is Ezekias, meaning strengthened by God. And again, it shows that Jesus knows that God will give him strength to do what he has to do. Remember in Matthew chapter 4, after the temptation in the desert, "Then the devil leaves him," it says, "and behold, angels came and ministered to him." So God will always strengthen Jesus, and we can rest on that because he also strengthens us. Now, this is another name that I really, really appreciate, and that's Manasseh, and it means caused to forget. Jesus does not remember our sins once he is in glory. In Isaiah 43, God says, "I, even I am, he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake, and will not remember your sins." When Jesus has taken them on, he doesn't remember them. Isn't that wonderful? Thank you, Lord, for that part. The next name is Amon, meaning faithful or trained. And again, he learned obedience through his faithful suffering and training. In Hebrews 5, it says, "Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered." The next name is Josias, meaning founded by God. And it shows that Jesus proceeded from the heart of God. In John 8, he says, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. I didn't come of myself, but he sent me." The next name is Jechonias, meaning Jah will establish. To establish the kingdom on earth is what Jesus came to do. In Matthew 16, it says, "Verily I say to you, there will be some standing here that will not taste of death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." So there is a kingdom coming. It may not be here yet, but it's coming. The next in his line of ancestors is Salathiel, meaning "I have asked of God." And this shows that Jesus is on the right hand of the Father, interceding for us at all times. In Romans 8, we hear this: "Who is he that condemns? Is it Christ that died? Yes, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." That just blows me away. Jesus is always making intercession for me, for you, for us, for all of us. God is praying to himself for us. How powerful is that? The next name in line is Zorobabel, meaning to flow away from Babylon. And it shows that Jesus is to bring his own back to the kingdom. In Matthew 24, it says, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they'll gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." And we're going to flow away from Babylon and flow away into heaven. Amen. The next name is Abiad, meaning possessor. Again, Jesus is the owner of all that God gives him. Just as we've said before in John 17, "While I was in the world," Jesus says, "I kept them in thy name. Those that you gave me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition." The next name is Eliakim, and this is another name talking about the resurrection. This name means God of the raising. In John 11, Jesus said to Mary and Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So, see, the prophetic names of his ancestors just ooze with everything that happened to him. The next name is Azor, meaning to protect, to help, to shield. And it shows that Jesus will keep us safe from all harm and his own protection from the finality of death. In John 10:10, it says, the thief comes not, but to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. The enemy comes to steal. Jesus comes to give. The next name is Eliud, God the Helper. And he is our helper in times of trouble. Again, in Romans 8, who is it that condemns? Is it Christ, who died, yet rather he's risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? He doesn't condemn us, he helps us. And after that comes Tzedek, meaning just. This shows that Jesus is to carry the judgment of the law on his shoulders. In Galatians 3, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. He took our cursing. He's redeemed us from that. And Achim is the next name, and this is the last in the line that talks about the resurrection. And this name means Jehovah will raise. In Romans chapter 1, it says, he is declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. His resurrection proved who he was. It proved he was who he said he was. Next is Eliezer, meaning God is the helper. And it shows that Jesus will keep us safe from all harm, and again his own protection from death, from the finality of death. In Hebrews 13, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's always there, always protecting us. The next name in line is Mathan, a gift, or to give, or to reward. And it shows that Jesus is to provide us with access to the gift giver. In John 10:10, it says, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work. And that's it also in Revelations 22. The next name is Jesus' grandfather, through Joseph's line, Jacob. And again, it means, we're almost back at the beginning again, and it means to take up by the heel, to trip up, or to supplant. In 1 Corinthians 2:6-8, and in Colossians 2:15, it says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. The cross. So here's Jesus hearing the name of his grandfather, his earthly grandfather, Jacob, all the time as he grew up, to supplant, to trip up, to take by the heel, to take the enemy and by his heels and sling him around, throw him out the back door. And then we come to his earthly father figure, Joseph. And that name means to add more or to complement. And this one is to show that Jesus is to fulfill, to add the spirit back to the letter of the law, and to add the human spirit to the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 5, Jesus says, don't think that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I've not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And that's the listing of the ancestors in Jesus' line in Matthew. Now, it's interesting to note that in Matthew's list of ancestors that there are 14 generations from Abraham to David, and 14 generations from David to Jeconiah, and 13 generations from Jeconiah to Jesus. But we, all the believers that have been since Jesus walked the earth, we are the 14th generation as adopted sons and daughters of God Himself. I think that's interesting. And with all the prophetic names in Jesus' lineage pointing to His divine nature, it's also wonderful to see that Joseph, His earthly father figure, was there to add that human quality, while the Holy Spirit spoke to His spirit of spiritual qualities and the prophetical meanings of the names of His ancestors. Jesus was there to, Joseph was there to complement the human growth and teaching of Jesus, the man. Now, all these names were prophetic in nature for Jesus, and through them He knew all the promises that God would fulfill in and through Him, so that at the very close of His time on earth, He could say over His disciples, and through them down to us, "Hitherto you've asked nothing in My name. Ask and you'll receive, that your joy may be full." And that's John 17, verse 24. He's saying, in My name, which are all of the above, ask for help. Ask for breakthrough. Ask for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Ask for justice. Ask to be established. Ask for strength. Ask to have your past forgotten and for you to forget hurts and emotional scars. Ask for your personal ministry to be enlarged. Ask for peace. Ask to be a prisoner of the promise till it be fulfilled in you. Ask for Jesus to be your covering. And ask for your joy to be fulfilled in Him, for therein lies your strength. Realize that even as Jesus knew and understood the prophetic nature of all the names of the people in His lineage, He still had to commune with God, to go into the quiet places to reconnect, to quiet the voices who spoke against these prophecies. How much more do we need to reconnect with our Father on a daily basis? We probably don't have a list of our ancestors' names to speak prophetically into our lives, but we can use these names as we are now adopted sons and daughters, children of the Most High. While we're not saviors, only Jesus can be that, we can be carriers of His Spirit to others, teachers of what Jesus can do, of how much God loves us. We can preach and teach and demonstrate holiness and humility, healing and wholeness. We can allow the covering of the Holy Spirit to overshadow us like a fine gossamer dressing gown. Even as we carry the physical DNA of our earthly ancestors, as adopted sons and daughters, we can carry the same prophetic and spiritual DNA that Jesus had. So as you read through Matthew 1:17, don't just skip over the names, or in Luke, or in any place where in Scripture where there are lists of names. Don't bypass them as meaningless. Realize that they are speaking prophetically and will have great significance in the Bible story. Now, as I go, I want to pray for us. Father, I pray for every Tom, Dick, and Harry, every Sally, Sue, and Mary, that You help us understand that even if our earthly names are not prophetic in nature, our new names written down in glory have great significance, just like the names of Jesus' ancestors. For our names in the Book of Life show our dedication to living as Your son or daughter. And Lord, if anyone listening to this message doesn't yet have a new name in glory, I pray that You, by Your Spirit, will bring them to a place where they will accept a new life in You, a new name in You, and bow to the name of Jesus in all things. Amen.